So those at the back, can you hear me? Can? Okay, that's good. Okay. So it's time to begin our spiritual feast. Spiritual feast, the Word of God. And I'm very privileged to be given the privilege to serve you the appetizer. Now, if you go to any Chinese restaurant, the appetizer basically consists of a few peanuts. Just a plate of peanuts, while you all wait for the shark fin soup that comes after. So, of course, the shark fin soup will be the Bible study later. And all the Bible study leaders, feel free to hate me, all you want. And I'm very privileged and very happy to have Pastor Boon as my Bible study leader. You know why? Because Pastor Boon can cham siong one. And Pastor Boon already decided yesterday that... Pastor Boon already decided yesterday that we will, since there are so many people and it's so hot, we will have our Bible study in our swimming trunk in the pool. And if anyone cannot answer any question from this message, we will dip them down inside the water. So those who are in the Bible, Pastor Boon Bible study group, you better listen to this message, even though everyone else is sleeping. And yesterday I didn't attend the worship because I was thinking, how long should we dip a person inside the water to inflict maximum suffering? Okay. This is just to break the ice. I was just joking. I wasn't serious. Having the Bible study in the pool. Let's begin our message for today. Let's commit this time to the Lord in prayer first. Father, we truly ask, as we gather together in this manner, you glorify your name and that you will speak to us and that your Holy Spirit will move among us to cause everyone to hear more than what is being said and to see more than what is being revealed. So we commit your unworthy servant into your hand also, praying that you may grant to him the strength and the insight to share your heart with your people. Here is our prayer. Amen. Now, as you can see, that this camp theme is basically a prayer and a request. And if this camp team, the prayer and this request that is reflective of what we really pray for and we long for, I think the Lord will be very pleased with us. The Father will be very pleased with us. And I am very sure, and I come today with a certain, a strong confidence that this is a prayer that the Lord longed to answer. Now, you remember in John 12, the Lord Jesus says, Father, glorify your name. And out of the blue, the heavens opened up and there was a voice that says, I have glorified it. I have glorified it and I will glorify it again. You see? Now, this is I think this is very cool. No? And then the void, heavens opened up and a voice came out of heaven. An immediate answer. And so to the point that the people who were hearing it, they thought that it is a voice of a thunder. You see? Now, there are certain prayers. There are prayers and requests that we make to God that will really touch the heart of God. Now, you remember Solomon, you know, the Lord, God gave him a wish. You see, pray for anything, I will answer you. And Solomon did not ask for riches for anything, but he asked for wisdom. And because of that, the Lord was so touched by that prayer. Along with wisdom, he gave him everything else. You see, there are prayers that will really touch the heart of God. And from this answer, from heaven, the answer from heaven shows to us clearly, when we pray, Father, glorify your name, it is for sure we are talking about a work of God. It is only the Father who can glorify his name. It is his work. And basically, when we make this request, may your glory fill the earth, basically we were asking for God to act. We are asking for God to act in our lives and through our lives to glorify his name on this earth. And I really hope through this camp, in this camp, the Father will indeed lead us into deeper experiences of him. A deeper or richer experiences of seeing God's action, God acting in our lives. I think this is the ultimate purpose of this gathering, that we can see, all of us here, gathering here, can see that God is a God who acts in our life. It is only in this way we can live in this a sense of wonder, a sense of awe towards God. I think whenever we experience God acting in our life, whenever we experience God answering our prayer, I think you will be left with a sense of awe and wonder towards God. I think when we live as a servant of the Lord, when the sense of awe or sense of wonder live our lives, I think all we have is basically a very cold, religious, and very burdensome routine. You see? But it is this sense of awe and wonder that we see in the books of Acts. Whenever God acts, when God does something, we will be filled with a certain fear, a certain joy, with a certain amazement, a certain wonderment, you see, and this is what we hope to accomplish in this camp. Of course, here I will not define, since we are praying for God's glory to fill this earth. I suppose you know what is God's glory. You know, I will not attempt to define what is God's glory. I mean, if you ask for a job. God give me a job, I suppose you know what is a job. If you ask for a boyfriend or girlfriend, I suppose when you ask for a boyfriend or girlfriend, you know what is a boyfriend and a girlfriend, you see. So when we ask for, and I will not also attempt to define for you what is God's glory. Mainly because after months of research, I come to a conclusion that it can't be defined. It's just like asking somebody to define and describe to me the taste of asam laksa. Now, if you are asked to describe the taste of asam laksa, now everything you say about it is inadequate. Everything you say about it is a disservice to asam laksa itself. You get what I mean? But if you come from Penang, the very mention of the word asam laksa, you know I know. You get what I mean? So if you are a Christian who has experienced the goodness of God, who has experienced the acts of God in your life, the very mention of the word God's glory, you know what it is. You see, you can't define it. Yeah, I was thinking, you know, we are all Greek thinking. You know, I was thinking it's very important to define what it is. You know, I searched the Bible to try to find a definition for God's glory, you know. I almost go siao, you know. to get a definition, you see. So we are not interested to define what is God's glory. If you're a Christian, you know what it is. But we are more concerned about a how to than the what is, you see. What we should do to manifest God's glory in this world. And today I want to share with you from John 17. John 17, in verse 4, you do not need to open your Bible. I'll just read to you one verse. In John 17, verse 4, where the Lord Jesus says, I glorify thee on earth, I glorify you on earth, having accomplished the work which thou hast given me to do. Now, John 17 is always called the high priestly prayer. John 17 is actually the Lord's prayer. Yeah, you should call John 17 the Lord's prayer. And it is a prayer by the most glorious person who has ever lived on earth. He is Yahweh's glory. He is the manifestation of the Yahweh's glory. And from this prayer, you see, from this prayer, we can see how the Lord Jesus, the glory of Yahweh, glorified God on earth. And from this prayer also, we see God's strategy. From this prayer, we can see God's strategy in revealing His glory on this earth. Now, I chose this passage because I think this is the most appropriate passage to share from relating to this theme, because for a few reasons. The word glory appears in this passage 7 times. If you check the whole Bible, seven times glory is the most in any chapter in the Bible. Now, and if you check the word earth or world also, earth and the world also, in this passage, the word appears 14 times. You check the Bible, throughout the Bible, earth or world appear the most in this passage. You see? So, when I look at this passage, I realized then, this is basically God, Jesus' way of saying, a more elaborate way of saying, a more extended way of saying, of praying, may your glory fill this earth. And the Lord is basically praying this campaign in detail. And it's so detailed that within it, we can see how He Himself glorified God on earth and the strategy that He has in mind for us to reveal God's glory on earth. You see? Now, today, and this is basically an open-ended prayer. You see? Because you can see this is a prayer from the Lord Jesus. Yeah? First, not only for Himself. In first few verses, Jesus prayed for Himself. And after that, He prayed for the 12 disciples. And then, later on, He prayed for all of us who has come to believe, you see, throughout the world history, all the way to the end. So, I want to share with you six practical points. Yeah, six practical points. Based on the word priest, yeah, P-R-I-E-S-T, yeah, the word priest, yeah, you know the word priest, P-R-I-E-S-T, and I will share with you 6 points from here, yeah, from this passage that I extract that is relevant to our campaign. You see, now the first point that I want to share with you is P. P stands for prayer. Or asking. P stands for prayer of asking. Then I want to share with you, and to me, This is the most important point of all the points that I'm going to share with you later. You see, nothing will ever happen in your life until you start asking. Now, asking or prayer is basically God's method to get things done on earth. Now, I really want to encourage all of you to really read the Bible from today onwards with a new eyes. That God is a God who acts upon the prayer of His people. Yeah. And nothing will really happen at all. Now, I won't say I've been in the ministry for very long, you see. But I come to realize one thing. I can preach until my mouth dry and think, I can counsel until my mouth dry. I can do everything until all my energy is gone. Nothing will ever happen until you come to God in prayer. Now, I came across a definition of prayer that I find very interesting, and I find that the more I think about it, the more I think it is quite true, you see. Because prayer says this, the definition says this. Prayer is basically asking God to do something that He won't do if you don't ask Him to. See? He acts basically based on our interaction with Him. And if you look into the Old Testament, into the Bible, you will notice there are incidences where God is forced to do something that He does not want to do. And He was waiting for somebody to ask Him not to do it. And because there's nobody who asked Him not to do it, He has to do it. It was so interesting, you know. So you try to read the Bible in this way, you will notice that God is a God who wants our input. And He wants to listen to us, and He will act. He will act upon what we say. There was one morning I was sitting, thinking, meditating on the Word of God. I came across Isaiah 30, you know. It says that Yahweh is waiting to be gracious to you. He will be gracious to you when your cry for help rings out. As soon as He hears it, He will answer. He will act. Now, it was so interesting that He says that He is waiting. He is longing to be gracious to you. He's longing, but He is waiting. He's waiting for something. He wanted to be gracious to you, but He is waiting to hear your voice. He is waiting to hear your voice before He acts. I was stunned as I was sitting there. I read it again and again. He waits for your voice to ring out. I think for many of us, not many things happen in our life. We don't see the acts of God in our life, mainly because we don't pray very much. We don't pray very much. And we don't pray very much because we don't think. We don't think that our words matter to God. And He is God. He will do anything He likes. He will do. He wants to give you a boyfriend. He will give you. He doesn't want to give a boyfriend. He will give you. He's God. What we say doesn't matter. But until you come to the Lord's teaching, I think this is the most important, one of the most important points in the Lord's teaching, that what we say to God really matters. That's why He keeps saying, ask, keep asking, and you will receive. Keep knocking, it will be open to you. Keep seeking, and you will find. You see? And then in some other place, the Lord Jesus says, you know, truly, truly, I say to you. I mean, it simply says that I'm not lying. I'm not bluffing you. You see, truly, truly, I say to you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you lose on earth will be loosened in heaven. Then he said, again, I say to you. That means he's saying, really, I'm not lying. You see? Again, I say to you, whenever two or three of you, whenever two or three of you gather together and agree on something on earth, see, it will be done for you by the Father in heaven. In order for God's glory to be manifested through us, His church, we need to become a church that prays. A church that really pray and really expecting answer from God. John 14, I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father is glorified in the Son. John 15, if you abide in me and my word abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it shall be done for you. You see, I mean, whatever you wish, you know. Of course, I still remember Pastor Eric saying, you see, if you abide in him and his word abide in you, you will not ask to rob a bank and ask for success. You see? You did not, in John 15, you did not choose me, but I choose you and appoint you so that you will go and bear fruit and that your fruit would remain. So that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. John 16, truly I say to you, I'm not lying, truly I say to you, if you ask the Father for anything in my name, he will give it to you. Until now, you have not asked for anything in my name. Ask, and you will receive, so that your joy may be complete. So, brothers and sisters, I just want to share with you today this first point, which I consider to be the most important point, is that God is waiting. God is waiting to hear from us. And if we really get this deeply imprinted in our heart, I think this will change your life. It will really change your life, because most of us do ask, but we don't receive. Because we, most of the time, ask really without expecting an answer. No. God, yes, also okay. No, also okay. Never mind. And then we pray so generally that even if God answer, you don't even know whether he has answered or he didn't answer. You see? You won't know. The way we pray is such that we will never know whether God has answered yes or no. Yes or no, you see? So we must pray with expectation, and we pray specifically. You see, we must be humble, but we must not be so humble that we dare not pray. You see, be proactive. You see, so this is my first point that I want to share with you, and I would have to tell you that honestly, openly, that this is a prayer, a part of a Christian life that is maybe the most difficult to learn. And for me personally also, you see, I think prayer, I say, wow, you are a pastor, how come you say this kind of thing? But it's true, you see. Prayer would be an area of my life that I struggle the most, you see. But I have discovered in the last few years, you see, the joy and the expectation, the excitement of praying specific in such a way that it's either I get a yes or no answer clearly, You see, if no, move on. You see, a very specific prayer, and expecting God to answer. You see, and this is the first point I want to share with you. Now, the second point that I want to share with you from John 17 is, later on you read John 17, you will realize that John 17, the word that occurs the most time is the word give. Give. You see? Now, this word give appears 17 times in this passage alone. You see? Now, that's why the second point that I want to make based on the word are, based on the word are, is to realize, you see, in verse 7, you see, now they have come to know that everything thou hast given me is from thee. Now they have come to know. There is a realization. There is a realization of what we have received from God. Now, in this passage, if you read it carefully, you'll notice that there's a lot of transaction going on. I give to you, you give to him. I give to you, I give to him. You can say, as I read this passage, I notice that God has poured out everything upon the Lord Jesus. And the Lord Jesus, in turn, poured out everything upon us. You see, in verse 2, it says that, I have given them eternal life to know the Father and the Son. And then verse 8 and 14, it says there, I have given them your words. God's words is more precious, more expensive than any jewels in this world. It is, there's nothing you desire can be compared to God's words. You see? And then in verse 22, I have given them your glory. And in the you read on, you say, I have given them your name. You see? That's why, after reading this passage, for once, I got a glimpse of understanding, just a glimpse of understanding, what it means when Paul says in Ephesians 1:4, in Christ you have been blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies. No, that in the past, this passage is very mysterious to us, to me, you know. You have been blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly. But when I come to this passage, John 17, and reading Ephesians 1:4 in the lights of John 17, I realize then, God has really poured out everything upon us. So much so that I was thinking that, and next time in our church, next time you will ever see a unhappy Christian with a sulky face all the time, if you see a complaining Christian who always complain all the time, this no good, that no good, who is always dissatisfied with life, I want all of you to ask him, what else do you want? What else do you want? I mean, I know Malaysian politics. There's a apa lagi Cina mau, ya. But when you see a complaining Christian, you ask them, you see, what else do you want from God? Because God has blessed you with everything. To know Him, to know the Son, He has given us the word of life, and so on. You can say a Christian then is a person, you can say, that is enlightened. You see, you can a Christian then is someone where the, you can say, heaven it is upon him. You see, a Christian then is someone you can say that he has a contact with the other world, as though heavens open up and shines upon him and pour everything upon him. So much so that I would say, a mark of a true Christian is a life of gratitude, thanksgiving, giving of thanks. You see? Now, and sometimes in thanksgiving, we really express it. Yeah? We really need to express our thankfulness. You see? Whether through worship, in our conversation, we express our gratitude and thankfulness towards God for all the blessing and for all the gifts that He has given to us. You see? Yeah. I say this because sometimes we really need to express our thanksgiving. You know, I remember that you remember the 10 lepers. You remember the story about the 10 lepers? Yeah, 10 lepers. Yeah? Now, I am very sure the 10 lepers who experienced the miracle from the Lord Jesus, yeah, all of them are thankful. Can you experience something like that and you are not thankful? Every one of them is thankful. But in God's eyes, only one who is thankful. You see? Because thanks that is unexpressed is no thanks at all. And I think it's true. Yeah? I can do something for you. Yeah? I can do something for you. You can be very thankful in your heart. Yeah? But as long as you never thank me personally, you have never really thanked me. You get what I mean? You see? That's why sometimes I wash my plate. I wash plate for Isu's behalf. Yeah, wash and say, thank you, huh? You really change, no? It make a big difference, you know. You see? If I just wash plate and then there's no words of thanks, it's different. Very, very different, you see, because thanks unexpressed is no thanks at all, you see. So, and the third thing that I want to share with you, and I think this is also a very important point, that it says from John 17, the verse that we read just now, now they have come to know that everything thou hast given me is from you, is from you. Now, I want to talk about our identity. You see, that repeatedly in this passage, it was stated that the man that you have given me, you have given them to me, and they are yours. We are talking about identity, that we belong to Him, that we are His. Now, identity is the most important thing. I think the question about who am I? Yeah, who am I? No. I think if we got this, and if we are really, if you really get an answer regarding our identity from the Lord, I think it will cause us to really walk humbly in this world, but also confidently. In this world, humbly but yet confidently, a clear sense of who you are in this world, that we belong to Him, where we are from, where we are going, what is our purpose on this earth, what we are to accomplish in this world, you see, what is our mission in this world. Yeah. Now, if we get this clear, you see, I think that is the most important thing, because I think the most crippling aspect of the Christian life is the doubt. Who am I? You see? Now, we dare not take steps of faith. We dare not take steps of faith mainly because we are not clear about who we are. You see? We are not clear whether God is with us or not. We are not clear whether if I take this step of faith, God will be with me or not. You see? Now, if we don't, I think this is a very important question, because one of the outstanding aspects of the Lord Jesus' life is a very clear sense of who he is in relation to the Father, where he's from, where he's going, and what is his mission on this earth. What is he to accomplish in this earth? You see? All of us have different identity, you know. I mean, if Pastor Peter, he's the son of Uncle Wong, yeah, and he is also the husband of Annie. He's also the father of Carice. He is also the brother for Ruth. And all this relationship has its own demand, has its own stress that comes with it. You see, if you ask Aisu what he wants me to be, she wants me to be the best husband in the world. You see, a lot of stress, you know. Yeah. Sometimes I have to repeatedly remind her, I swear I'm no angel, no. I can get angry one, no. you see? So that's why it's very important, yeah, for us, in view of so many identities we have, in order for us to live consistently without having two or three faces in different places. I mean, sometimes at work we can have one person, in church another person, at home another monster. You see? But in order for us, yeah, to be consistent in our lives, wherever we are, whoever we are with, we need to know who we are. Who we are to please in this life. You see? And so on. You see? Okay, that's why I remember, inspired by a book that I read, my Skype tagline, I put the line, "I am what I am not." Oh, people say, "What is that?" You know. Then my answer is very simple. Yeah? If God is, "I am what I am," I am what I am not. You get what I mean? Then what does that mean? You see? Yeah. It simply means I'm His lah. Yeah, you go and figure out what. Yeah. So, PRI, yeah, E is basically, I play cheat a bit, it's actually the word for joy. You see, the Lord Jesus says, "Now I come to thee, and this thing I speak in the world, that they may have joy full in themselves." You see, now you come to a group of people, full of joy. That is very glorious. And then if you come to a group of people, all very gloomy one, you want to run away. You get what I mean? You see? Joy is glorious and it attracts. You see? And Jesus deliberately say all these things in front of the disciples so that they may have joy in their hearts. You see? And John 15, "This thing I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you. My joy may be made full." John 16, 20, "Your grief will be turned to joy." And then in John 16, verse 22, "Your heart will rejoice, and no one will take your joy from you." So it's not a very fragile kind of joy, you know. I mean, joy is very fragile, but he said, no one can take the joy away from you. "Ask what, and you will receive, so that your joy may be made full." The joy of abiding in God's presence, the joy knowing that God's favor is upon us. You see, don't get me wrong, that there are times for grief, sorrow in the Christian life. Yeah, but if you look in the scripture, joy, grief, sorrow, mourning, all those are time limited. It's always time limited. Just like God's anger. God's anger is always time limited. You see, it is His loving kindness that endures forever. Yeah. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Yeah. Have you ever feel depressed? If you ever feel depressed, I do. I always feel depressed. Sometimes breathing also take a lot of strength. you can't even breathe. You see? But the joy of the Lord, when you have joy, you have strength. You are motivated, you have strength from the Lord. But when you are depressed, to lift up a Bible, although very muscular, just to lift up the Bible is heavy. Just to read the Bible is like taking the cross. You see? Yeah. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Yep. Now, S. Okay. I still have 15 minutes. Okay. S. You see? John 17, verse 20. I do not ask in behalf of this alone, but for those who believe in me through their words. Through their words. I want to share, S will be share. You see? Now, it is human nature. It is human nature in us that when you experience something good, you can't stop talking about it. Correct? I mean, suddenly you will win a $1 million lottery and say, you are not supposed even to tell anybody. Wow, that is difficult. Is it? You get what I mean? Even a very composed person will go a bit crazy. When you experience something good from God, you cannot help sharing. That's why the Lord Jesus has really a big problem. You see, after he did something for people, he said, don't say anything, you know. And these people will just go out and spread it all over the place. You see? You have to share. So, I do not pray but for those who believe in me through their words. You know. Now, I really believe in the power of the word. In the power of the Lord. I think throughout my ministry, I have come across many incidents. The power of the word, of the word to change life, yeah, to transform. You see? And sometimes it happened right in front of you. I remember a few years ago, I was leading a series of messages, a series of training sessions with a group of elders from a church. You see? Now, it was a small group, about 12 or 15. After a few sessions, one of them got so disturbed by the session, the next day, he get a Bible scholar from his church to come to attend that meeting. Now, that person was so hostile. Now, a person is hostile is okay, you know, but he's very big size, very, very big size, and bota some more, you see? Now, when you are big size and you bota, and then you show a face like this, that is very scary, you know. He was showing a face like this. And then the worst is that he didn't come to listen. He didn't come to hear. I mean, to hear me out first and then to evaluate. Every statement I make, he will make a statement. You see? No, what you're saying is not true. Every statement, to the point that I cannot continue with the session anymore. It was a standstill. You know? The rest of the group seems to be afraid of him also. You see? And then I have two co-workers with me, they are also shaking. Actually, I was also, I was wondering what to do, you know? So, because he was a standstill, he's not interested to listen. You see? So in the end, I said, we can't continue anymore. Then the rest of the group said, hey, why don't you just shut up? Let him finish. Let him finish. After you finish, then we talk further. So, it was agreed that to let me finish. let me talk, and he will keep quiet. He said. So I continue presenting the session. And you literally see a person transform in front of you. From a tiger, become really like a mouse. And then after that, he was treating me like a king, like or don't know what, to the point that I felt so uncomfortable. Yeah. There are also times that you see transformation happen that you are not aware of until somebody said it. You see? I mean, sometimes we lead Bible study, can be very discouraging. You know? Lead and nothing happened. lead, nothing happened. But you don't know what God is doing at the back, behind you. You see? So you just lead and sometimes it can be very discouraging. Just a few months back, I think in February, there was someone who came to our Bible study group, he's quite shabby, his person. He always come late in a motorbike, he came late, and sometimes when people come late, I get irritated because he disturbed me. And then he come late, and then right after the Bible study finish. I mean, in the house, people just talk to each other, right? He will just leave, you know. Now, actually, the first time he came, I thought he won't come back anymore. You know? Yeah. But he keep coming late, and then leave early. Yeah. Until one of these, one day, I soon met the mother. And then the mother said to Aishu, "No, for the last two or three months, since my son attend your Bible study, your husband Bible study, he's completely a changed person. Completely a changed person." And last Sunday, I got a chance to talk to him because somehow he stayed on longer. You know. Well, I was so amazed by the thing that he's going through that caused him to change. You see, actually, he was comparing me with the Kwa Mia, one people. You know, he was saying, for the last 3 months, since I attend your Bible study, I come across things that I never believed before. You know, the Kwa Mia one is very accurate. Very accurate. I was stunned by how accurate. Now I in a crisis, whether to believe them or believe you. But then he was saying to me, he said, for the last three months, when I attend your Bible study, each time I sit down and then you talk. Everything that you all talk about is relevant to my life at that time. Every week I experience something. And the moment I sit down, you were talking about that particular topic. You see? So it was so interesting. Yeah, as you serve the Lord and you share, and sometimes you get that kind of feedback. You see? Yeah. And actually, in relating to this, many things that I would like to share, see? But I will just share with you something that happened in the last one or two years. That's why I was talking about prayer just now. Now, in the last few years, I've been studying monotheism, studying a lot. Then I asked the Lord, what am I going to do with this? Then I really asked the Lord, Lord, grant me an opportunity, yeah, to keep teaching this thing. You see? To keep sharing this thing. Open up opportunity for me. I have in mind what I want, actually. I told the Lord, no. But the Lord has something else in mind. That's why prayer is basically asking God to act. And he can act beyond what we think of, what we can imagine. You see? And he really led me into groups by group. And if I'm going to tell you those groups, I think you all, even the local Indonesian, when they hear that, actually, I was very scared also. You see? Yeah. But I just want to share with you one incident where I was asked to lead monotheism to a group of people from different faith. Yeah, to a group of people from different faith, and they were all in their attire, you see, old and young, you see, and it was a very scary experience for me. So I was talking about monotheism. I was sharing about Yahweh. The name of God is Yahweh. You see? Then they were saying, you keep mentioning the word Yahweh. Who is he? What is that? You see? What is Yahweh? You see? Now, in our tradition, there is also something that sounds like that. He is called Yahuwah. You see? Is that a name or title? Is it? So you were I was sharing, you see, and I was sharing monotheism. All of them was so happy, you know. After the first day sharing monotheism, they were all so happy. You see. In the second day, I told them that. I won't be fair to you if I just share with you the first command of the Bible. You see, Shema Israel, hear Israel, Yahweh is one. Yahweh is our God, Yahweh is one. I won't be fair to you, but let me share with you the second most important command of the Bible. You shall love one another as yourself. So I went on sharing the second command. The second command. Immediately, the whole environment changed. The first command, all of them, good, wonderful. When it comes to the second command, you shall love one another as yourself. As yourself, they were all stunned, sitting there. And I ended my last session with that session. You see? And then the whole seminar ended. The whole seminar ended, you see. And then they were all given a chance to give some feedback, to say something. All of them, almost all of them, broke down in tears. Old and young. Even there was one, when he smiled, you can see nothing, you know. Only a few. It's basically a big hole. You see? They were asked to say something. A lot of them, almost all of them, they could not even say it. They just broke down in tears. You see? And one of them, the one with no teeth, then he just said, you just come back again. You just come back regularly again, you see. With us, brothers and sisters, is something very precious. In your hand, what you have in your hand, and hopefully also in your heart, is something very precious, something very powerful. Something that will really change life. Yeah. And don't go into politics. It won't change life. Cast your vote, but never get too serious about it. You see. Whoever win, also okay. Life goes on. But with us, is the powerful word of God. That will make a difference in people's life. Yeah. Imagine someone came to you after a session of God in Christ. Yeah? I say God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, and you just say a word like that, and they seem to never heard something like this before, and she came to you in tears. You mean to say God really loved us that much? I mean, for us Christians, we hear God loves us, God loves us. No meaning to us. But to them, you see, yeah, they were shocked by the fact that God loved them so much. You see. My last point, PRIEST. You see, I have no more time, you see. As if no more time, my D is the end, you see. But if you give me 5 more minutes, the D is actually today. Now is the time, you see. Now it is the time. Now, the word today is a very important word in Hebrew, you see. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. I really hope that at the end of this camp, that we really see the importance of today. If you want to start anything for the Lord, start it today. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. Yeah, do not harden your heart. Now, one of the greatest enemy to our Christian life is the tendency to procrastinate. You know? Yeah, procrastinate, and then tomorrow lah. And because you know why? Because we live in an illusion. We live in an illusion that tomorrow will be better. This is really an illusion. That tomorrow will be better. That tomorrow, after I finish school, I'll be better. I will give more to the Lord. I'll be more serious with the Lord. After I finish school, after I get a job first. After I got a job, I will be really serious with God. You see? Now, you get a job, then you say, after I get a wife or husband first, then I will be very serious with God, you see. And then after you get your wife and husband, you see, then, let's have a few children first, see. Then after having a few children, you see, let my children grow up first, you know, go to university first, you know. I wait till they get independent first, you know. Then I will be very serious with God, you see. By the time very old already, you see. After all the children, all independent, so old already, then no excuse already. Then we say, God, wait till my wife, my lawe, die first. By the time it's your time to die, you see. Yeah. Then I discover, as I serve the Lord, I realize that actually life is hard. Growing up is hard. School is hard. You know, marriage is hard. Growing old is hard. Everything about life is hard. That means we have to resign to the fact we have to live with trouble for the rest of our life. Now, if you don't start today, you will never start. I want to stress this message to you, is that if you don't start today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. You see? If you do not start today, you will never start. I love the movie Kung Fu Panda. It's my favorite movie, especially the Master Wu Kuai, you know. Master Wu Kuai, when he says to Kung Fu Panda, he says, you think too much, you see. You think too much, you see. He says, yesterday is history. Tomorrow is a mystery, you see. And today is a gift. That's why it's called the present. You see? That's why it's called a present. You see? I mean, honestly, you only have today. You are only sure of today. So yesterday it passed. Tomorrow, I don't know whether I have or not. I'm really not sure whether I have tomorrow or not, because I can just walk out here and fall down and knock my head and die. You see? Yeah. And then he, before Master Wu Guai taken up to heaven, he said to his Shifu, "You must promise me, Shifu, you must promise me, you must believe." You see? Then after the Shifu said, "I will try," and then the Master Wu Guai then said, "My time has come." Then he passed the tongkat to the Master Shifu. Then he fly off. Then when, as he was flying off, he said, "You must believe." You see? Now is the time. Today is the time. It's the time to stop talking. And sometimes our Bible study is just, sometimes it's just talk. You see? It is really time for us to act. You see? To act on the word of God. And I really hope this camp will not be and just a passing event in our life, but I really hope this camp will indeed change your life, yeah, to become people who glorify the Lord. Now, I want to point out, as my last point, is that you notice that the Lord Jesus in John 17, twice he said that, "I do not pray for the world." Twice he says, "I do not pray for the world." You know why? Because the world will never glorify God. The world is anti-God. It will never glorify God. He never pray for the world. He pray for you. He pray for you and me. Because if there's anyone who can bring glory to God on this earth, it's you and me who are sitting here. You see? And there are many of us here. You see? And if the Lord, I really hope you can see then, you are really a priest of God. You are basically the link between heaven and earth. You see? The link between heaven and earth. If you know, if you read the site, if you watch science fiction movie, you know what I mean, you see. We are the link between heaven and earth, between the Father and the people. So, I end my message here. I hope all of you receive something from the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time. We ask that through this camp, you will indeed glorify your name as high as possible in our hearts, that indeed we will respond to your call, to live our life for you and for you alone. It is our prayer. Amen. I hand the time over to the camera.